Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're going to start our service this evening with prayer, and we'll go into a song, and after that we'll have intercessory prayer, and we will ask Brother Eric if he's willing to lead us tonight to get ready to go, and we will have scripture. Prayer, song, scripture, intercessory prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson. Sister Joan, are you on the line tonight? Sister Joan, can you hear me? Then if she's not here, we'll invite her later to participate. So we're going to go off now and start off with prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for allowing us to come before you tonight. We want to celebrate you. We want to sit at your feet. We want to learn from you. As we come, we're just asking, Lord, we are celebrating you and saying, Holy, holy, Lord, thou God Almighty. And we're so excited about who you are and who we are in you as we are learning what it means to experience revelation. Lord, reveal yourself to us. Thank you for being the one that holds the deed to this world. And we come before you knowing that you had all power in heaven and earth in your hands. And we even know that more so because of our study. We ask these blessings now in your son's name. We pray. Amen.
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 Glory, because
Amen.
Amen.
So tonight, Sister Joan, are you there? Okay.
She says
well,
she's dialing in.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Glad to have you with us. So.
Oh, God. Okay.
So tonight's readings will be coming out of the Old Testament. And as I said a couple weeks ago, I try to get readings that will give some reflection on the scripture that we're going to be studying, as we will be studying Revelation 7 tonight. So the first reading will be Genesis 35, 1 through 26. The second reading will be Numbers 1, 1 through 54. So the first one is Genesis 35, 1 through 26. And Sister Joan will be reading Numbers 1, 1 through 54. This is the word of the Lord, Genesis 35, 1 through 26 from the New Living Translation. God said to Jacob, "Now move on to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to worship me, the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob told everyone in his household, "Destroy your idols, wash yourselves, and put on clean clothing. We are not going to Bethel, where I will build an altar to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has stayed with me wherever I have gone." So they gave Jacob all their idols and their earrings, and he buried them beneath a tree near Shechem. When they set out again, terror from God came over the people in all the towns of that area, and no one attacked them. Finally, they arrived at Luz, now called Bethel, in Canaan. Jacob built an altar there and named it El Bethel, because God had appeared to him there at Bethel when he was fleeing from Esau. Soon after this, Rebekah's old nurse, Deborah, died. She was buried beneath an oak tree in the valley below Bethel. Ever since, the tree has been called the Oak of Weeping. God appeared to Jacob once again when he arrived at Bethel after traveling from Padan Aram. God blessed him and said, "Your name is no longer Jacob. You will now be called Israel." Then God said, "I am God Almighty. Multiply and fill the earth. Become a great nation, even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants, and I'll pass on to you the land I gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants." Then God went up from the place where he had spoken to Jacob. Jacob set up a stone pillar to mark the place where God had spoken to him. He then poured wine over it as an offering to God and anointed the pillar with olive oil. Jacob called the place Bethel, House of God, because God had spoken to him there. Leaving Bethel, they traveled on towards Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. But Rachel's pain of childbirth began while they were still some distance away. After a very hard delivery, the midwife finally exclaimed, "Don't be afraid, you have another son." Rachel was about to die, but with her last breath, she named the boy Benoni. The baby's father, however, called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Jacob set up a stone monument over her grave, and it can still be seen there to this day. Jacob traveled on and camped beyond the Tower of Edar. While he was there, Reuben slept with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and someone told Jacob about it. These are the 12 names. These are the 12 sons of Jacob. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's oldest son, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's servant, were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's servant, were Gad and Asher. These are the sons born to Jacob in Padan Aram. I have read for you Genesis 35, verses 1 through 26.
Amen.
Amen. All right. My reading is Numbers chapter 1 to verse 1 to 54. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. in the tent of meeting on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they had come out on the land of Egypt, saying, take a census of the whole congregation of Israelites in their clans, by ancestral houses, according to the number of the names, every name individually from 20 years old and upward, everyone in Israel able to go to war. You and Aaron shall enroll them, company by company. A man from each tribe shall be with you, each man the head of his ancestral house. These are the names of the men who shall assist you. From Reuben, Elizur, son of Shedur. From Simon, Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai. From Judah, Nashon, son of Amminadab. From Issachar, Nathaniel, son of Zuar. From Zelup, son of Helon. From the sons of Joseph, from Ephraim, Elishama, son of Amidhad. From Manasseh, Galilee, son of Pedashur. From Benjamin, Abidan, son of Gideoni. From Dan, Azazel, son of Amishadai. From Asher, Pagiel, son of Ochran. From Gad, Elisaph, son of Deuel. From Naphtali, Ahira, son of Enan. These were the ones chosen from the congregation, the leaders of their ancestral tribes, the heads of the divisions of Israel. Moses and Aaron took this man who has been designated by name, and on the first day of the second month, they assembled the whole congregation together. They registered themselves in their clans, but their ancestral houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward individually. As the Lord commanded Moses, so he enrolled them in the wilderness of Sinai. The descendants of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, their lineage in their clans, and their ancestral houses, according to the number of names, individually, every male from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. Those enrolled in the tribe of Reuben were 46,500. The descendants of Simeon, their lineage in their clans, by their ancestral houses, those of them that were numbered, according to the number of names, individually, every male from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. Those enrolled in the tribe of Simeon were 59,300. The descendants of Gad, their lineage in their clans, by their ancestral houses, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. Those enrolled of the tribe of Gad were 45,650. The descendants of Judah, their lineage in their clans, by their ancestral houses according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. Those enrolled of the tribe of Judah were 74,600. The descendants of Issachar, their lineage in their clans, by their ancestral houses according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. Those enrolled of the tribe of Issachar were 54,400. The descendants of Zebulun, their lineage in their clans, by their ancestral houses according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. Those enrolled in the tribe of Zebulun were 57,400. the descendants of Joseph, namely the descendant of Ephraim, their lineage, and their clans by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. Those enrolled to the tribe of Ephraim were 40,500. The descendants of Manasseh, the lineage in their clans by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled to the tribe of Manasseh were 32,200. The descendants of Benjamin, their lineage and their clans, by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. Those enrolled to the tribe of Benjamin were 35,400. The descendants of Dan, their lineage, in their clans, by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. Those enrolled of the tribe of Dan were 62,700. The descendants of Asher, the lineage in their clan, by the ancestral houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. Those enrolled of the tribe of Asher were 41,500. The descendants of Naphtali, their lineage in their clans, by the ancestral houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. Those enrolled to the tribe of Naphtali were 53,400. These are those who were enrolled, whom Moses and Aaron enrolled with the help of the leaders of Israel. 12 men, each representing his ancestral house. So the whole number of the Israelites by the ancestral houses from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war in Israel. Their whole number were 603,550. The Levites, however, were not numbered by their ancestor tribe along with them. The Lord has said to Moses, only the tribe of Levi you shall not enroll, and you shall not take census of them with the other Israelites. Rather, you shall appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the covenant and over all its equipment and over all that belongs to it. They are to carry the tabernacle and all its equipment, and they shall tend it, and shall camp around the tabernacle. When the tabernacle is to set out, the Levites shall take it down. Tabernacle is to be pit. The Levites shall set it up. And any outsider who comes near shall be put to death. The other Israelites shall camp on their prospective regimental camp by companies. But the Levites shall come around the tabernacle of the covenant, that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the Israelites. And the Levites shall perform the guard duty of the tabernacle of the covenant. The Israelites did so. They did just as the Lord commanded Moses. The word of the Lord.
Amen.
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 Now is the time for intercessory prayer. And so for those of you who have family and friends that you know are in need, just asking that you would put on the list so that Brother Brian can lift them up in prayer.
This is Margaret.
Well, this is Eric. I want to ask a prayer for my mom and her health, specifically back problems. My Uncle Debbie B. and dealing with the beginning of dementia. My Uncle Wendell, who has been suffering from a stroke for years and trying to get him back to health. And my Uncle Dwayne, who has health issues after falling 40 feet and landing on his feet years ago. And tonight I also want to add our country. The midst of this election is over and that we may begin to heal and be somewhat of a unified people.
Does anyone else have things to bring before the Lord tonight?
This is Margaret, and I have a friend named Hattie who's going to have cardiac ablation tomorrow, and I just wanted to implore the Lord to help the physicians guide their hands, that they would ablate the proper spot within her heart to stop her from having troublesome cardiac arrhythmias, and also that she would come through the procedure alive and well. And also I want to praise and thank the Lord for giving traveling mercies to my husband and I as we traveled to Panama City, and it's been just lovely. God is so good. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Dr. Susie. I want to offer a prayer request for my position at work, for my health, and for my children.
Mm-hmm.
And for my family relationships.
Yes, this is Joan Main. I'd like to have some prayers for the family as well, for their protections, especially the way it's going on unknown and they're so far away, as well for the troubles coming from Guam and coming from Ecuador and another travel to go to Nevada for a family gathering and hope that they will be safe.
This is Brian from Maine. I'm asking the Lord tonight for prayer for clarity in decision making, and that I focus on His will rather than the things I want myself as an individual, and I just get better at looking and listening and searching for what He has for me, and you know, both now and in the future.
Amen.
Does anyone else have something to bring before the Lord?
I just want to bring before the Lord just clarity of mind, the ability to be able to bear my grief, and just that my body be made whole.
This is Sister Shirley, and I want to ask the Lord to cover my family and health through all of this pandemic, and to cover just the world as a whole, and to also give us peace of mind, and to be able to withstand anything that is going on in this world, and to cover us with your blood as far as health, peace of mind, sound mind, and be able to be utilize all limbs during this time.
Hallelujah. Does anyone else have a request? Okay, let's as a group now, unified as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, one family, one body, one unit, really. Many individuals with different lives and different circumstances, but Lord, we are the body of Christ, and we come to you as that unified force. Lord, we stand before you humble. We stand before you contrite, and we realize that we can't accomplish anything. We can't do anything that's good or righteous without you, because we'll trip it up real quick, and we'll go the wrong direction by ourselves. So we rely on you. We acknowledge your greatness, your power, and your might, and the awesome, awesome capability you bring into our lives that we can't have or can't do for ourselves. So, Lord, there's a number of petitions. You've heard them all. But I pray for those people who are faced with illnesses. I pray that their family members respond, their healthy family members respond, rise to the occasion and help them, that they're surrounded by people who love them, that their pain and suffering be minimized by your holy hand and your grace and your mercy for these people. And I just pray that that they're surprised by good things that can come from illness and suffering and pain, and that they see those good things. They recognize them, and that it gives them heart, and it brings them closer to you. Lord, with regard to illnesses, we especially pray about the pandemic, which has encircled the globe. You know, we fear it, but we shouldn't, because we know that you're in total control. We have anxiety as we travel around and do things, but we know you are King. You are the Almighty God. And what you offer for an infinite future is far better than dragging out another year here. You know, so we acknowledge all of that. We just ask that you quell our fears, give us confidence to live our lives fully, completely, and not detach completely from other people. You know, that we use wisdom, and that we have discretion, but that we don't just simply ignore people because of the pandemic. Lord, some of us have operations and procedures happening. You're the master surgeon. You know every cell and every minuscule component of every cell in every body. You know exactly where the problems are. I ask that you guide the surgeons and physicians and doctors and nurses and other practitioners to just the right spots, to do just the right thing, with just the right maneuvers, and that you protect the patients as these operations and procedures happen. Lord, I especially pray for all of our children and grandchildren tonight. They're growing up at a time of tremendous challenge from a human standpoint. But Lord, you've got this. You've got this. You control it. You guide it, and nothing happens without your permission. We ask that the children be protected, and that they be held, and that they be nurtured through all of this. Lord, this is their time to be children. Help them do so without being run by fear or anxiety, and help the people around them remember that. Lord, I also pray for something which is affecting all of us, especially those of us who have been around for a while, and that's clarity of mind and the ability to really discern the times and be able to place ourselves in the context of where you've put us at this time, why you've put us here at this time, and what we're going to experience here. It's almost like we feel our minds are being microwaved. There's so much pressure, and there's so many considerations, and there's so much fear happening. But, Lord, we know that from you comes peace and understanding and caring. And we ask that those things be predominant on our mind, not those things which are driven by earthly issues. Please, Lord, strengthen us and remind us of that. Lord, I ask that all these petitions brought tonight and all those who have thought of petitions and haven't brought them forward but are bringing them to you, I ask that all these petitions are improved through you and corrected by you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. So as we go forward in the study, we want to move quickly. It's 7:42. So, Eric, if you're ready to lead us into the study, we just ask you to let's go. We got a roll call. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, this is Maine.
Can we get a roll call?
Okay.
Brian from Maine.
Brian from Maine. Joan from Maine.
Joseph from Indianapolis.
Shirley
Joe
from Maryland.
From Indianapolis. Shirley from Maryland. Margaret from Florida.
Brett from Indianapolis.
Brother
Brett.
Indianapolis. Greetings.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And for those of you, did I hear Brother Mateo? For those of you who are wanting to be quiet tonight, would God's blessings be with you. Whenever you feel like you want to share, feel free to begin. Usually whenever we communicate, just a little etiquette, we just say, this is Joan from Maine, or this is Joe from Indianapolis, or Britt from Indianapolis, or Dr. Susie from Maine, so that we can have an idea of who's talking as we get used to the voices. And understand that everybody here comes with a different background and theology, and the Bible says, come, let us reason together. And that's what we're doing. We're coming to share, not to mandate anybody's perspective be what we have to receive, but that we understand God's word and we process it and together so that we can have a clarity of understanding. And so with that, we're going forward. Eric, are you back?
Yes.
All right.
So good evening and welcome. Last week we saw the first six seals on the title deed that God had passed down to the Lamb, to Jesus. And John was busy seeing all of the horror that was befalling the earth. And we ended with the great day of the wrath has come and who will be able to survive as the mountains and had fallen and people were hiding in rocks. Those people that were not martyred at that time at the altar were hiding under the rocks, talking about rocks cover us from the wrath of the wrath of God and the Lamb. And so tonight we're going to be looking at a little prelude before we get to the seventh seal, and this is chapter 7. And if someone could read 1-8 for me, I'd appreciate it. Revelation 7, 1-8.
This is Sister Shirley. After these things, I saw four angels. I'm reading from the King James Version. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. And the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. And the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. And the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. And the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. And the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. And the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed.
All right, thank you. So my first question tonight is, why do you think this piece, this interlude, this that we're reading right here is there, and it just doesn't go from the sixth seal to the seventh seal? Because last week it was doom and gloom, right? I mean, the four horsemen, the apocalypse, the seas and the land being upheaval and all that. And so now we get this little interlude. Why do you think that is?
Can you hear me? Brother Mateo, can you hear me?
Barely, brother. We can hear you, but barely. Brother Mateo, are you there?
Yeah, I'm going to hang up and call back.
Okay, yeah, you're very faint. So anyone else, why do you think there's this little interlude?
This is Margaret from Florida. It appears that we are seeing God's mercy and provision for his chosen people, and that he can stop all manner of natural disasters and all manner of power from harming them. That he's capable of separating the wheat from the chaff, or from the tares, rather.
Amen.
Minister
sister.
His judgment.
Amen.
Thank
you. God is a merciful God. God wants everyone to be saved. Everyone doesn't want to be saved. So even in the midst of carrying out his judgment, he is still showing his mercy. And particularly in the first part here, he's showing his mercy to who?
The tribe of Israel.
Correct. The 144,000, the people of Israel. Why do you think that's important? Here we get deep, folks. Here we get deep. Why do you think that's important?
They're God's chosen people.
They're God's chosen people. And they are the ones who receive the promise.
Amen.
The only reason that we, as Gentiles, have the opportunity is because the scripture said he came to his own and his own received him not. And because they dismissed Jesus, then the Gentiles were granted to have the opportunity to have salvation. But God's promise has always been to the Israelites. And so in this particular text, he is letting us know unequivocally that he hasn't forgotten that promise, that he intends to keep that promise. And I know that there are some denominations out there that think that this 144,000 is them, him, and he, and everybody else. This 144 is strictly people of the descendants of Israel, of Jacob, of Abraham, of Isaac.
Amen.
In the scriptures that we read before, I wanted to do that because it listed those folks. So does anybody see anything different from the list that we read in Numbers 1 and also Genesis 35 as opposed to what we see here in Revelation 7? Revelation 7, you got Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
Excuse me, Eric. This is Dr.
Yes.
Susie. Hold on a second. This is Dr. Susie. What I'd like to do is just take a quick second. For those of you who are calling in, we are so excited. We have over 30 people on the line tonight. But in order to have that many people in the studio, we need to put your phones on mute until you get ready to speak. And then that way we don't hear the noise of those of you who are driving. So put your phone on mute first, and then sometimes we have to remind you because people forget that they are on mute. So God's blessings be with you. Thank you so much. Put your phone on mute. Go ahead, Brother.
Amen.
Eric.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. So, again, Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. That's in Revelation 5 through 8.
Amen.
In Genesis 35, I'll try to go through these slowly because I'm sure some of y'all are taking notes. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's oldest, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's servant, were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's servant, were Gad and Asher. So, again, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. That was from Genesis 35. This is important, so I want you to follow me here.
Go ahead.
We're going to get to why it's listed this way. And then in Numbers 1, we read this. We read Reuben, Jacob's oldest son, and their tribe was 46,500. Simeon, and their tribe was 59,300. Gad was 45,650. Judah was 74,600. Issachar was 54,400. Zebulun was 57,400. Ephraim, son of Joseph, was 40,500. Manasseh, son of Joseph, was 32,200. Benjamin was 35,400. Dan was 67,200. Asher was 41,500. And Naphtali was 53,400. There is a difference between all of those for a reason. So, is there a difference from the two Numbers 1 in Genesis 35 to Revelation 7? 5 through 8.
Yes.
This is This is Reverend Dell from Indianapolis. I think the difference is that these were sealed by God and called by them because they were separated for the purpose of God, meaning that they have a special calling from the Lord. Revelation 14:4 says, these are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These people dedicated their whole lives to God.
Okay. Thank you, sister. You got ahead. You did extra credit. I appreciate that. But what I'm really trying to get at, because you're absolutely right, but what I'm trying to get at is that there's a different order of names in
right.
Revelation 7 as opposed to Numbers 1, and as opposed to Genesis 35. There's a difference in names from Genesis 35 to Numbers 1. Can somebody tell me why that is? Okay, scholar, I'm gonna help you out.
Okay.
The difference between Genesis 35 and Numbers 1 is that in 35 they list all the children that was born to Jacob, who later was named Israel by God. In Numbers 1, they don't list all of the children. He even lists two grandchildren, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were sons of Joseph, that were born to Joseph while he was in Egypt.
Right.
And also missing in Numbers 1 is Levi, the Levites.
Yes, they were chosen as the priests.
Because they were chosen to be God's priests. So they were the true special ones as we went through the Old Testament.
Hmm.
But now we get to Revelation 7, and you notice Reuben is not listed first as the oldest. Who's listed first?
Judah.
Why is Judah listed first?
It's from the tribe of Judah.
Jesus.
Correct. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, the lion. So he's going to be listed first. Reuben gave up his heritage when he slept with his dad's concubine. So Judah becomes listed first because that's the tribe that Christ came through. Levi is inserted in 7. Who's taken out? Trust me, I know it took me a while to figure it out too. Dan is taken out. Why do you think Dan is taken out? Boy, y'all gonna make me check my work, right? Dan is taken out. If you read Judges 18, the tribe of Dan committed idolatry after they were given their land to settle in. They were traveling around. They went to the land of Ephraim. They found this guy who was at this guy's house, and they told him to become their priest as opposed to God leading them. So they took this young Levi away from this guy who had his own altar and took him off and told him, it's better for you to be a priest to all of us as opposed to one household. So they committed adultery and idolatry. And so when we get down to Revelation 7, they're not listed. God remembers all the stuff that we do.
Amen.
And also, one other one here, just so that we know, Joseph is reinserted, and Manasseh is still there, but Ephraim is taken out.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think Joseph and Manasseh is there, but Ephraim is taken out?
He had a mess up also.
I think, if I can remember, I can't hardly remember because it's been a long time since I studied it, but I think Ephraim was involved with some paganism worships to God, if I can remember correctly. So, he just blew it, you know. He blew it.
Amen.
Well, most of us do blow it. Most of us do blow it. But we have an advocate now.
Yeah, we have Jesus.
If we accept that advocate, there's the key.
Ephraim,
and the reason
Ephraim was identified with idolatry, and then
right.
Both of them.
Yeah.
And the beast worship.
Yeah.
This is Brother Mateo.
It's been a long time.
Yes.
The other reason why Ephraim was casted out was not only did he do it, but he caused others to do it as well. So he was guilty for idolatry himself and causing others to commit the same sin.
Oh, misleading.
Correct. So I wanted to go through all that so that we paid attention to that. It just wasn't all of Jacob's children, tribes, that was listed as being sealed of this 144,000. And this 144,000 is truly direct descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Make no mistake about that, because there are those who believe that that's not the way that that is, that, oh, it's 144,000 people that encompasses the church and encompasses, you know, whatever realm they want to try to make it fit.
But
it is not.
You know, and that's
it
what,
is a direct.
That's what we find. But that's what we find with Revelations is lots of scholars, people who've studied this for their lives, all have different perspectives about how this goes. Many of them think that John's listing describes the church rather than ethnic Israel, and you believe that it describes ethnic Israel.
Well, I don't have to actually believe that because I'm reading it in verse 4, and I heard now many were marked with the seal of God. There were 144,000 who were sealed from all the tribes of Israel.
Amen.
Well, it's when you look at the terminology 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. If John had the actual Jewish Israel in view, the term from would mean that there was some election from the whole nation. But on the other hand, if he intended to imply something about the church, it might be language that God was selecting the true church out from those who just talk about church, those who just profess church. So that's another ideology or theory.
You're correct, but let's not take from the word what the word says.
Well, the thing with Revelation, which is the challenge, though, is that it's symbolic on some of it. So, you know, when do we take it
on
literally?
On some of it is, on some of it isn't, and that's what we got to actually clear and understand it. But this isn't symbolic.
That's right.
This is actual.
Amen.
And the reason that we can make that deduction is that when we read 9 through 17, so if someone could read that for me, please.
Hey, Eric, this is Brett.
Yes.
Before you go there, the numbers that we're looking at here in Revelation 7 is less people than what it was in the other two books
that,
in Genesis.
That is correct. The 144,000?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is correct. Because
that means not everybody.
Every one of the ethnic Jews is not going to be saved.
Amen.
Just like every one of the Gentiles is not going to be saved.
All right.
But God is still keeping this promise to Israel that he gave to Abraham.
Amen.
Correct.
That was then passed on to Isaac and then to Jacob and then to Jacob's descendants. What did Joseph tell the descendants when they got, what did Joseph tell them before he died? God will surely visit you and bring you out of this place.
Amen.
Take my bones with you. Don't leave me here. Take me wherever the Lord is taking you. Even though my spirit won't be here, don't leave my bones here either.
Amen.
They had faith that God was going to be true to his word. And if God can't be true to that word of protecting the Israelites and providing for them,
come on,
that of salvation, how can we believe he's going to be true to our, to what he promises us?
I like that.
I mean, doesn't that make sense? If somebody tells you something and they don't follow through with that, the next time they tell you something, are you apt to believe it right away? Aren't you going to be a little bit skeptical?
There you go.
That way, God.
Oh, see, all of y'all just believe everything everybody tell y'all? I don't think so.
No.
So here God is showing that I'm still keeping my promise in the midst of all of this turmoil with the first 6-7 seals. At the end of 6, I still want the world to know that I'm still keeping that promise to the Israelites. And if I'm still keeping that promise to them, after all these years, after all they've been through, then I will keep my promise to you too, no matter what you go
through. Amen.
It may seem hard. It may seem unbelievable to you. You may not think you can make it, but if you just hold on, as the song said, the God's unchanging hand.
Mm-hmm.
If you just hold on, understanding that our years are only seconds to God, if you just hold on, that salvation that you were promised and that you have believed in faithfully will be yours as well.
Amen.
And so we've got two distinct versions here. We got this sealed who are going to be saved of the tribe of Israel. And then we've got this second group, the multitude, which is described 9 through 17. So if someone can
Amen.
Read that, please.
Go ahead, read it.
Doesn't matter who, anyone.
This is Margaret from Florida, and starting with verse 9, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "You know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
Amen.
Amen.
Every
Amen.
Tear away from their eyes. They will not Amen. Hunger. They will not thirst. They will not cry anymore. They will not be scorched by the noonday sun. What a time, what a time. So we go from this 144,000 who is sealed to a number that can't be numbered. And it says that they are clothed in white. They're holding the palm branches.
Amen.
They're shouting, "Salvation comes from our God on the throne and from the Lamb." They are victorious. They have overcome. This is those that are coming out of the church.
Oh.
Who are being persecuted, who are being martyred because of their faith and their belief.
Yeah.
During this tribulation. And as I said last week,
amen,
God, even in the midst of the judgment, he is still trying to save people. He's still trying to give them the opportunity to confess that Jesus is Lord, the Savior. He is the Son of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
He's still doing that, even in the midst of all this going on. And now he's saying, I'm keeping my promise to Israel, this 144,000, but I'm also keeping that promise that I gave to the Gentiles. That's why this number can't be numbered.
Amen.
There are a whole lot more Gentiles than there are ethnic Israelites, ethnic
right.
Jews.
Amen.
So are you saying that you believe that the people, the great multitude standing before the throne in the white robes are, I think they're people from every nation and tribe and tongue, every nation, not just Gentiles. I think they're both Jew and Gentiles.
Yes. Yeah. From every nation.
Well,
is that what you said? You thought they're all Gentiles.
I apologize for my terminology. They are all those who accepted Christ as their Savior.
Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Amen.
Right.
So it's all of those that accepted Christ as their Savior. All those that have recognized that Jesus is Lord.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
So they are the group of martyrs, right? Or are they I guess that would still be all the redeemed. Those who believe in Christ are all the martyrs.
Right. Because it says people. It doesn't specify what people. It just says people. It says tribe, people, and tongues.
Correct.
No one.
Yes.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Amen. This is Brett.
And so they are there and they are worshiped. They're in the presence of the Lord and the Lamb. And what did it say? It says at 14. And I said to him, "Sir, you know, you are the one who knows." So John is admitting right away, I think I know, but I'm not sure I know, but you know. You've been here with God.
There you go.
Know. So I'm not gonna try to, you know, come up with well, I think I can answer that and give you a whole bunch of malarkey. He says, "You know." Then he says to me, "They are the ones coming out of great tribulation. They washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That
Hallelujah.
Is why they're
Amen.
Standing in front of the throne of God, serving him day and night in his temple.
Right.
All right.
It doesn't say the temple. It says God's temple, because God's throne room is now the temple.
The throne of God.
Amen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it would be nice a little bit if we could, when we come back, because we're at 8:16, but when we come back to this, that we would look at the role of tribulation, and where we see the imminent appearing of Christ, where we see the rapture, because that's being alluded to in some of these things, or at least the idea that there's some people who perceive that, and if that's the case, we still need to talk about it. So.
Amen.
So are you
that's
okay sure. with closing so that we can have prayer, Eric?
Let me make one more observation. That Brett had something.
Yeah, I wanted to just I just want to remind everybody that this is all being recorded because John is in the spirit. The spirit, his mindset was in the spirit to the point that he was able to see these things, and God allowed this to happen. So when we are questioning what is written, we have to be careful, because keep in mind, this was done in the spirit realm, not in your present mind, the one that guides you every day to go to work and stuff. It's a different realm that we're dealing with here. So we need to be cognizant of that and make sure that we don't get back into thinking like a regular man. That's not what this is about.
Agreed, but he has been given the authority by Christ to write this so that we may
Amen.
Get a glimpse and understanding and not be so caught up on the doom and gloom, because Revelation is not about the doom and gloom. It's about God's glory and worshiping God and God's
Amen.
Victorious story.
Amen.
That's
God.
What Revelation is about. We get so caught up, the beast and no. He's writing all that, but he's getting us to the point of God's victorious story. And I want to close
Amen.
With this. This is 16. They will never again be hungry or thirst, and they will be fully protected from the scorching noonday heat. For the Lamb who stands in front of the throne will be their shelter. He will lead them to the spring of life-giving water, and God will wipe away all tears. And that is a direct correlation to a favorite psalm that all of you know. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. This
Amen.
Is the translation. The
Amen.
Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside the peaceful stream. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare
yes,
a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen.
So because we are moving fairly quickly through Revelation, we ask that if you have any questions, if you could leave those with us and we could bring those back as we do a summary next week. So before we go and offer invitation to accept the Lord, are there any questions that you'd like to have us bring up again next week? Or any statements or areas you'd like us to review?
Yeah, Dr. Susie, if I may, I think that's a great idea. So why don't we do this for next week? Because next week we would be going into the breaking of the seventh seal, and then starting the seventh trumpet judgment. Could we
Amen.
Use next week to dialogue and answer questions and to
up
take
to this
a
point? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be a good
that would be
okay.
a good idea.
That would be a good point to do that. What say
so
the group?
If we could stop and everybody read your Wiersbe as well, and that should give you some more questions to bring to the table, more insight. And for those of you who have your commentaries, we ask everybody who is on the Bible study to contribute by bringing a different commentator's perspective. So it would be a good time to bring those views up so that we could have a dialogue about what we're learning and what people are saying so that we could reason together. And is really deep, and it's been very good. And I don't know about what you all are learning or what has changed your lives, but one of the things that I want to say that I have changed and learned is that I can't just say thank you, Jesus. I got to go, holy, 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 Lord God, God Almighty. I can't help it because I feel like that I've got to praise Amen. God. I've got to praise God. And that's one thing that has changed, and I will never be the same as it relates to that. Ken, Joe, would you offer
22
Josephine, would you offer a call to invitation to accept Christ? And then encourage people to get involved in a Bible-believing church, please.
Okay. This is Josephine from Indianapolis. And for those
Amen.
Who are listening and joined us for this time that do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, this is an opportunity and a call for you to join us as we, those who know him, even learn more about him. And it is a call for you to come to a place where you can have blessed assurance of life everlasting when this life as we know it is over with the Creator of this world and all the worlds. Knowing God as your personal Savior brings about a peace that I can't even explain in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through. And it's a place of shelter, and it's a place where you can take all of yourself and devote to someone who will cradle you in his arms. So if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, please come, confessing all of your sins. And that doesn't mean naming them one by one, because God already knows. If you just confess your sins to him and give your heart to him and ask him just to change you so that you may be able to receive him in your heart. Yes. So if you're yes. listening, please come. Amen.
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 And for those of you who accepted him, we want you to know you're part of the family of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
Feel
Hallelujah.
Free to join us next week as a sister or brother in the Lord. And feel free to join a Bible-believing church nearby where you can grow and become a part of the church family of God. And then make sure you continue to stay with us here at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study to grow
Amen.
According to the Word. Brother Brett?
Yeah. Yes. To everybody that's on here tonight, please come back. Keep in mind, every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, our Bible study meets. And don't forget, our number is 646-478-4932. Remember, Dr. Susie is the host and moderator. Eric is our facilitator. Now, to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, Amen.
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 God bless all
Amen.
Of you.
Hope you all enjoyed it. God bless. Receive messages. Text me.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.